I don't think we have ever sang it, but I discovered it this morning. In my time with the Lord, I was spending some time with the Lord, and that hymn was where the Lord led me, and I was just going through the hymn, singing it, and I didn't have it in my prayer file. And so I went and looked it up, and I found that fourth verse, and I thought, wow, that is really awesome. So what a day that's going to be, amen, when we get to spend time worshiping the Lord, and we won't have to pray then. We'll be in His presence. And it's good to be back, and good to see you. And we had a good trip in Missouri. It was awful cold like it was here. And that we're thankful for the time when we were about there on Friday evening. Emily had told Jaylee, our granddaughter, said that there's a special package coming, and she didn't know we were coming. It was a surprise. And so they were waiting on the porch, and she was really surprised. And a little bit later, was in the house, and she asked her mom. She said, where's this, my special package? She had something else in mind when I told her about a package. Well, tonight we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13 tonight. Going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And tonight it's going to be a history lesson from Israel. A history lesson from Israel. In 1948, in a speech to the House of Commons, the British Prime Minister at the time, Winston Churchill, he famously said, "Those who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat it." That's a very true statement. You know, a lot of our troubles today is because we don't know history. It's sad today that young people today don't know history. I mean, they're not teaching history or true history. They changed history, but we need to know history, and we need to learn from history. The Apostle Paul, he would agree with Churchill's warning. In our text tonight, twice Paul will say that we need to basically say that we need to learn from Israel's history. And that's in verse 6 and verse 7, or verse 11, I'm sorry. We'll come to those when we read it. Remember in chapter 8 and 9, Paul used his own example. He was talking about Christian liberty and how we need to balance Christian liberty with love, with wisdom, with truth. And he talked about in the last chapter about his own testimony of laying down his rights for the sake of the gospel. When we come to chapter 10, we could say that we need to be willing to lay down our rights for judgment's sake. I mean, I could say that would be one way to look at it. But that's not how we're going to look at it tonight. But I want to read the text, these first 13 verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpent. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now I want you to notice again in verse 11 that all these things happen to them, he says, for examples or examples. And he says they are written for our admonition. In other words, they're written for our learning. It's, this word admonition is like a warning. It's like a mild warning to avoid something, sin or some fault. And so their example is something we need to learn from tonight. So we're going to look at this history lesson from Israel tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so grateful. So grateful for how much you love us. We're thankful that you've given to us your precious word to instruct us and to guide us and to admonish us, to warn us. Lord, we're thankful for the stories we have in the Bible. Some of the stories in the history of Israel is not really good history, but it's helpful for us to learn from their stories, to learn from their examples. Father God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would enable me and help me to expound upon this text. I pray, God, that you'd apply it to our hearts and our lives tonight by your Holy Spirit, Lord. That you would speak to us tonight. Lord, that we'd receive this tonight and apply it in our lives, so that we can live as the Lord's church in this lewd culture in which we live. Lord, we love you, and we're trusting you for your blessings tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this passage, it's a warning. It's a warning to New Testament churches not to repeat what Israel did in their selfish and sinful ways. And, you know, he'd been talking about the issue or the question of eating meat that was offered to idols. And I feel like he's still in that topic, and he's still kind of relating back to that topic. And so this is a warning about, especially to those that would disregard what Paul was teaching concerning our liberty in Christ. You know, there are some devastating consequences when we ignore these examples here in the Scripture. You know, these events that he's going to take is from the Exodus out of Egypt and Israel's experience in the wilderness, the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. So he's going to use those stories. He's going to pick out some of the stories of that time to apply to this church, some of the things that they were going through. It's interesting that some of the things he mentions has to do with eating, drinking. It has to do with idolatry and fornication. These are things that we've already talked about here in 1 Corinthians. But he's going to point out some of these things and as an admonition to this church, and I think as an admonition to us as well tonight. And so first tonight, we're going to look at this first point. And that is this, that spiritual blessings do not guarantee us God's pleasure. Spiritual blessings do not guarantee us God's pleasure. You know, I want you to notice, we're going to look at these first five verses on this point, but I want you to notice in verse 5 it says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased." God was not well pleased. And we're going to look at they were people that had experienced God's blessings, and they had great privileges given to them by God, great spiritual blessings that they had experienced. And let's go back to verse 1, and I want you to notice he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant." Now, I want you to look at this word ignorant. It means, it has several different ideas, and it means not to know something. But it also, by implication, it means to ignore something, to ignore. And I believe that this church, they knew the blessings that they had in Christ. I believe that Israel knew the blessings that they had experienced in the Exodus out of Egypt. But they ignored those blessings. They lived as if they were ignorant of those blessings that God had given to them. And I believe the same can be true of us. We are so blessed. Just like Israel was spiritually blessed, given so many great privileges, we too are blessed. We are blessed tonight. I mean, we are blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He tells us in Ephesians 1. We have so much more blessing than Israel had. But we find here that Israel, though they experienced these extraordinary blessings and privileges from God, they did not please God. They did not please God. Why did they not please God? I believe because they ignored the blessings that He had given to them. They just, like flat out, treated it as if they didn't know about it. And because Paul's going to go into some of those blessings, I want to go through in these first four verses. And notice again in verse 1, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Paul is referencing the story of the Exodus. Remember the story in the book of Exodus where they were slaves in Egypt for 430 years? It was hard, bitter bondage that they were in. But God delivered them. He used Moses to deliver them out of bondage in Egypt. And you know that they were redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb. The night that they took that blood of the Passover lamb, they sprinkled it on their doorpost that night, God delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. Just as we today are redeemed out of slavery to sin by the blood of our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. But notice it says all. I emphasize all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They all experienced this great event. They all experienced this redemption and passed through the Red Sea. And notice verse 2, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And so we find here that this baptism that they experienced was, it was similar to our baptism. You know, as they went through that Red Sea, as they passed through it, it says they were baptized unto Moses. Moses is a type of Christ. He's a deliverer, just like Christ is our deliverer. And we were baptized unto Christ, right? And so, as they went through the Red Sea, you remember what happened? The enemies that followed them were drowned in the sea. Remember, they went through on dry ground and then it came back down and swallowed up their enemies. And they were on the other side of the seashore rejoicing. God had given them absolute victory. There was no turning back. I mean, they were redeemed out of Egypt. And it's a picture of our salvation as well. You know, when we get saved and we are baptized as identifying with Christ, that we believe in His death, burial, and resurrection, we pass from death to life. Well, they were passing from death in Egypt to life with God. They were passing from slavery in Egypt to freedom with the Lord. And you think about the analogies here Paul is trying to draw, and he's speaking of their blessing of redemption. God had redeemed them out of Egypt. And you, if you look at a lot of the Psalms, refer back to that event. Even a lot of Old Testament, there'll be references back to this event of the Red Sea, this event of God redeeming them out of slavery in Egypt. But they ignored that. So I want to ask you the question tonight, do you ignore God's redemption? I mean, sometimes we forget how blessed we are. I mean, just go back and remember where you were before God saved you. Remember your life, a slave to sin. Just think if you had never heard the gospel. Just think if you had gone down the path you were going and you were still there today, where would you be? I could only imagine where I'd be, and I'd probably be dead. I'd probably be lost. I'd in hell. I mean, I thank God for His salvation. You know, there are times we need to go back and remember those blessings. And I know it wasn't too long ago, and we were reading through Isaiah, and the Lord told Israel to look to the rock. You know, look to where they, the pit where they were brought out of. Look to Abraham. Look to Sarah. And in other words, look at their history. Look where they came from and look at where they are. And so we find here that Paul's trying to point out, here's Israel. They were blessed with redemption. They were saved out of slavery in Egypt, just like we are saved out of sin unto Christ. But they did not please God. They did not please God because they ignored this blessing of redemption. And as we go on, we find that in verse 2, it says that they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud, in the sea. And then in verse 1, it talks about under the cloud. Now, remember the cloud. The cloud he's talking about here is not the clouds that were up in the sky. He's talking about the pillar of cloud. And remember when they went out of Egypt that night, God's presence was with them in the pillar of cloud by day, fire by night. And it continued with them through their journey in the wilderness. And so as they were going across the Red Sea, God was going before them with the cloud. What does the cloud represent? It represents His presence. They were blessed not only to be redeemed, but they were blessed to have God's presence with them. I mean, He was right there with them. When the enemy started following them into the Red Sea, the cloud, it says, moved and went behind them. And it was darkness to their enemies. They couldn't see. They were confused. Until the Israelites got through, then the enemies followed and they were drowned. So I want you to think about, they were under the cloud, the pillar of God's presence. Day by day, they could look and see God was present with them. It was a visible presence. It was a visible symbol of His presence. By day, it was a cloud. By night, it was a fire. He was with them every day. He was with them every step of the way. When they went through the wilderness, remember, they'd be camping out. And when the pillar of the cloud would come up off of the tabernacle, they knew it was time to pack up camp and get ready to go. It was God leading the way. God was present. And like Israel, we are blessed with God's presence every day and every step of the way. But we're even more privileged because we have God's presence in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. But I want to ask you this question. Do you ignore God's presence? Do you ignore God's presence? I mean, here, Israel, as we get to these sins that they committed, you need to realize that they committed these sins in the very presence of God. God was present and with them. They were His people. He redeemed them unto Himself. they had that blessing of redemption. They had that blessing of His presence. But they ignored it. And sometimes we too ignore it. And that's why Paul was saying as he starts out this chapter, "Moreover, brethren, I would not have you should be ignorant." I don't want you to be ignorant about the spiritual blessings and privileges that you have. And it says in verse 3, they did all eat the same spiritual meat. They did all drink the same spiritual drink. You know, we have here God's provision for them. And Paul speaks of it as a spiritual meat, as a spiritual drink. They also, you remember the manna? They ate the manna from heaven, the bread from heaven. God gave it to them every day. He fed them every day. He gave them water out of that rock. They drank. That's His provisions. All those spiritual provisions pointed to His spiritual provisions. The material pointed to the spiritual. You know, there were even some Jews that believed that this rock, it just followed them all through the wilderness. The physical rock. But I don't think that's true. And in fact, I know it's not true, but Paul mentions here that spiritual rock that followed them. He talks about how that Christ followed them. Christ was the one that provided them that provision, the physical provision. Christ was the one. He's that spiritual rock. That's what Paul points out here. And I want you to think about this just for a minute. The Messiah was with them in the wilderness. He was providing for them right there in the wilderness. The bread of life was right there with them. The water of life was right there with them. I mean, this was before He ever came to this earth in human body, human form, to die on the cross. But He was present with them. He was providing for them spiritually and physically. Now, as with Israel, Christ provides for us, does He not? He provides physical bread, physical drink. I mean, provides for our needs. I don't see anybody here tonight that looks like you're starving. I think you've all probably ate before you came to church. But more than that, Christ provides for us spiritually. He is the bread of life. We feast on Him. He is the water of life. We drink of Him. You know, it's not only when we observe the Lord's Supper do we recognize that truth in simple form, but it's something every day we should feed on Christ. Every day we should drink in Christ. We should spend time with Him. We should draw from Him every day. That last song says it. What a friend we have in Jesus. I mean, He knows all of our sorrows. He bears our burdens. He carries our griefs. And there's so many times in life that we go without and we're troubled and we're distressed because we do not take it to the Lord in prayer. Do you ignore God's provision? You know, these are questions I ask it that way because I want it to be application as we're looking at these stories and of Israel, because that's what they were doing. They were ignoring these spiritual blessings that they had. They had God's redemption, they had God's presence, they had God's provision, and they were ignoring these things. They were murmuring, complaining, worshiping idols, ignoring God's blessings. What we're saying tonight is spiritual blessings do not guarantee us that God will be pleased with us. You know, sometimes as Christians, I want you to think about that thought just for a minute, because sometimes Christians think, well, I'm saved. I can just live the way I want. I'm going to heaven. I can do what I want now. I got my ticket to heaven. Jesus is my Savior. I'm washed in the blood. And so many Christians live that way. Wouldn't you not agree? They're like, well, I'm saved, so now I can just relax. But what Paul's trying to teach us tonight in this passage is that there are consequences when we sin. You know, when God is not pleased, it says here that they were overthrown in the wilderness. You know what that means? Everyone 20 years old and upward died. They all died in the wilderness, that whole generation. All those that experienced these great things, going through the Red Sea, seeing that pillar of cloud, or that pillar of God's presence, seeing God provide for their needs there in the wilderness, day by day by day, it was those same people that died in the wilderness. People God redeemed, people God loved, people that were in covenant with God. Let us not think we're any different. Despite all these blessings and spiritual privileges, they did not please God. You know, you think about it, these blessings should have caused more gratitude in their heart. It should have caused them to want to be pleasing to God, but it didn't. So I ask this question, do you ignore God's blessings in your life? Do you ignore them? Sometimes we do. Sometimes the way we live, it reveals that we're ignoring the spiritual privileges and blessings that are ours. These blessings do not give us a license to sin. Rather, they lay upon us greater responsibility to obey God and glorify Him. I mean, you've probably heard that, you know, with there's more responsibility. To whom much is given, there is much required. That's what Jesus taught. We've been given much. We have the greater responsibility to obey God and glorify Him. Let's go to the second truth tonight, and that is this. Spiritual blessings do not exempt us from God's judgment. Spiritual blessings do not exempt us from God's judgment. When I say judgment, I'm not talking about the judgment of hell, okay? I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm talking about chastisement. I want you to just look in chapter 11. Just turn over a page in your Bible, maybe. It's over a page in mine, to chapter 11, verse 30. We'll eventually get to these verses, but it says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Now, the word sleep is a Christian terminology for someone who has died in Christ. He says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." You know, the truth is, we're not going to be condemned with the world. If you're saved and child of God, you will not be condemned with the world. But that doesn't mean God will not chasten you in this life. Some in this church, they were weak and sick. Some had died because of sin. Israel, I mean, they were redeemed, but they were overthrown in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness. Why? Because of sin. You know, there is the scriptural truth that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's a law in the physical world, but also in the spiritual world. When we sow sin, we will reap God's judgment. And so this Israel's history lesson here continues with some examples in their 40 years in the wilderness. And these stories that Paul is going to point out come mostly from the book of Numbers. And I want to look at each one of these briefly. The first one is this, the sin of lusting after evil things. We find that in verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. I'm thinking that I put up here in this point Numbers 11 verses 18 through 34. This is a story about where they were complaining about the manna. God had given them manna day by day by day, but they were lusting for meat. They wanted meat. They were whining that they had it better in Egypt. They were talking about all the meat they had back in Egypt. Man, they forgot they were slaves. They forgot about the bitter, hard bondage. And so God responded to their complaining, and God gave them quails. He brought in all these quails, and the people greedily gorged themselves on these quails. And the Bible tells us why the meat was in their mouth, between their teeth. There came a great plague upon them. Many died. I like how Psalm, I want you to look at Psalm 106 in verse 14, how the psalmist talks about that event. In Numbers account, it says a great plague, but here in Psalm 106 in verse, let me find it. I have it down, verse 14. Yes, verse 14 and 15. So let's start in verse 13. It said, they soon forgot his works. In other words, they ignored, right? They ignored all the works that he had done for them, the blessings they had given. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. I want you to think about that thought, just that he sent leanness into their soul. They were wanting to indulge these desires that they had. And I want you to think of this thought. When we allow ungodly cravings to rule our lives, God sometimes gives us those things. He allows us to indulge those things, but it will result in leanness to our souls. I want you to think about the consequences. You know, God is, He gives us a lot of liberty to make the choice. I mean, we can make our choices, right? I mean, you can choose not to come to church. You can choose not to read your Bible. You can choose not to pray. You can choose to stay home. You can choose to live a sinful lifestyle. You can make those choices, but just understand the consequences that will come. And they're heavy. They're heavy. Don't forget, don't ignore those spiritual blessings God has given you. And then we see in the next verse, the sin of idolatry, verse 7, neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. This comes out of Exodus 32, verse 6. Paul's actually quoting that verse. Where they, while Moses was up there in the mount, they took and built a golden calf, and they were worshiping that golden calf, and they were having this feasting, and they were eating and drinking. And I want you to understand, the pagans, when they worshiped their gods, it involved eating and drinking, and it usually involved fornication as well. It's like those things were tied together, and that's what they were doing when Moses came down off the mount with the two tables of stone. They were involved in this gross idolatry and immorality. Remember who these people were. These people were people that were, as we read in verse 1, they were under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They did all eat the same spiritual meat and all drink the same spiritual drink. It was those people. Just like today, we have people who have feasted on the Lord Jesus Christ, who have received Christ as their Savior, but do the same things. And so Paul is trying to use this as a history lesson. Listen, we need to learn. Look at what happened to them. Look at the consequences it brought in their life. And then we see in verse 8, the sin of fornication. Neither let us commit fornication. This is sexual immorality. And as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. In Numbers chapter 25, it gives the account. We're not going to have time to go there, but I've given it to you, verses 1 through 9. This is, remember Balaam. Balak tried to he hired Balaam to come, and he was some kind of prophet, and he had him come. He wanted him to curse Israel. Of course he couldn't, because God would not allow him to curse Israel. And by the way, there are a lot of people today cursing Israel. It's unbelievable, the hatred in our country, in our universities, in Europe, all over the world, the hatred towards the Jewish people that's just been stirred up. It has exploded. And this should break our hearts. I mean, just to think the demonic spirit that is at work in people today. That's what it is. It's nothing else but demonic spirits working. I don't know if you realize this. I'm going to get off a little bit. I'm just going to get off. I want you to just think about this for just a minute. You remember in Genesis 3:15, God told the serpent. There's the first promise of the gospel right there. He talked about the seed of the woman. It was going to bruise. The serpent's going to bruise the heel of that seed of the serpent, but the seed of the serpent, Christ, was going to bruise his head. It speaks of the crucifixion. But, you know, from that time forward, you have Satan was at work trying to destroy this nation. Why? Because it was through this nation that Jesus was going to come. Remember, he could go story after story in the Old Testament where there are people that try to destroy Israel. Then you come to the Gospels, and Herod tried to kill Christ after he was born. You know, there's a lot of atrocities that went on in Israel where babies were beheaded and killed, but back in Jesus' day, every baby under 2 years old in Bethlehem was killed. Every single one of them. Butchered by Herod. Well, Satan wasn't successful. Christ went to the cross, rose again. But don't stop there, because why is it that Satan's still trying to destroy Israel? Because Israel is key to the second coming of Christ to this earth. I'm not talking about the rapture, but Christ coming back to this earth, it involves Jerusalem, it involves a temple, it involves a state of Israel, a people. And so Satan wants to stop that. And so he tried to use Hitler, and now he's using Hamas and other people. I mean, he's trying. It is satanic. Satan is at work trying to oppose God's plan. All right. That was free. You don't have to pay. You don't have to tithe on that one. So, Balaam. Back to Balaam. He could not curse Israel. So what did he do? He seduced them with the daughters of Moab. He told Balak, and he gave him some advice and counsel. So these daughters of Moab, they came. They're beautiful women, and they came and called the people of Israel to come and to their feast. Guess what they did at their feast? Worshipped idols. Doesn't that sound familiar with what Corinthians were struggling with in chapter 8? That's what they struggled with. They were saved out of idolatry. They used to go in these pagan temples, commit fornication and worship idols and eat meat and drink. Been tempted in their past. Now Paul's going to use an example. Israel, they fell into fornication because of these daughters of Moab. You can read about it in Numbers chapter 25. And that day, 23,000 people died. You know, sometimes we don't like to think of God that way, but He's a just and holy God. He's still going to judge sin. Yes, He is love. He is grace. He is mercy. But He also is holy and just and righteous. We come to verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ. So we see the sin of tempting Christ. As some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. The story is found in Numbers 21. And in that story, they were questioning God's goodness, His love. They said this, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loathed this light bread," talking about the manna. They wanted to go back to Egypt and dine again. Just like the Corinthians were probably thinking about going back and dining in those idol temples. But God sent these poisonous serpents to bite the Israelites. Many of them died because of that. I love about that story, Jesus brought it up in John 3 when He talked to Nicodemus. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, you see, because He told Moses to make a brazen serpent. Because they cried out, "Moses, save us." They cried out. God told him, make a brazen serpent, hold it up. And He told them, look and live. All they had to do is look at that serpent, they'd live. Look in faith and trust God's provision, and they lived. And so Jesus said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man will be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So that's a beautiful picture of that. But now let's go to the last one, verse 10, the sin of murmuring. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Grumbling, murmuring. Boy, he's really speaking to Baptists now, isn't he? You know, this, you look in Numbers and read through it, it's amazing how Israel, they murmured about everything. They murmured about lack of food, lack of water. It's hard in this wilderness. It's ways hard. They murmured against their leaders. They murmured at God's promises. In Numbers 16, verse 41 through 50, this is when they murmured against Moses and Aaron, the leaders of Israel. And 14,700 died as a result of that murmuring. You know, I could go on, but the point is that we're trying to establish, and I think it's pretty simple, spiritual blessings do not exempt us from God's judgment. Just because you are redeemed doesn't exempt you from experiencing chastisement in this life. You go out and run in front of a car, guess what? Don't tempt God. You think, well, God will protect me. Don't try it. You're likely to be run over. I'm just using a simple illustration. Let's look at this last point tonight. Spiritual blessings do not protect us from personal temptations. He says in verse 11, now all these things happen to them. For examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, you think about these lessons of the past, they're only good when we apply them to the temptations of the present. And here he's applying, wherefore. Here's the application. We need to remember our susceptibility to sin. We need to remember our susceptibility to sin. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We can get so prideful thinking, you know, well, I've got such a, you know, close walk with God. I'm such a good Christian. And we think that we're invincible, but we're not. It's when we become prideful and self-confident that we fall. And here, Israel, we can see an example of them. But Paul is warning these Corinthian believers and us today against this thinking. Thinking that we're exempt from falling. We're exempt from falling back into our past sins. I mean, a lot of times in our mind we think, there's no way I'd go back to that. Well, be careful. Be careful. Satan is a deceiver. And things can happen in your life Things can happen and you can go right back to those past sins. Many do. I mean, many do. There are people that are saved out of, for example, drunkenness, and they were delivered from it, but years later, they go through things in their life and they're back in it. It says, take heed. Take heed. Lest you fall. Another truth, verse 13 tells us, is remember God is faithful to provide a way of escape. When we face personal temptations, God is faithful. I love this verse. It says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You know, sometimes we think that our temptation is unique. We try to make an excuse for when we fall into that temptation, thinking that ours is unique. You just don't understand. But Paul is saying it's common to all men. Men face the same temptations. Maybe not the same circumstances, but we all face the same temptations. They're common to man. But I want you to notice, though, it says, but God is faithful. Aren't you glad for that? God is faithful. That we can take it to the Lord in prayer because He is faithful. When we are tempted, and we sing, yield not to temptation, we can go to the Lord. He's faithful. He says He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. What this means is that He knows your limits. He's sovereign over what is allowed in your life. You know, I heard someone put it this way, that God has His hand on a thermostat. You know, as we're going through trials, He has His hand on that thermostat. God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted above that we're able. There's a way of escape. It says that. But we'll with the temptation also make a way to escape. There is a way to escape that you may be able to bear. Bear what? Bear the temptation. Endure the temptation. God is able to do that. God is faithful. God will not fail us when we run to Him, when we trust in Him, when we cry out to Him. He will not fail us. He never has, He never will. But the question is, will you trust Him in the hour of temptation? Will you trust Him? Will you run to Him? Just remember this, spiritual blessings don't protect you from temptations. You know, just because you got saved and you're a child of God, that doesn't protect you from trials. And when we speak of temptations, I'm not just talking about a temptation to sin. I'm talking about a temptation in the sense of a trial. We are not exempt from trials. We're not exempt from going through great grief and hardship and be tempted to question God, be tempted to question His love, to doubt Him, be tempted to go back to our past life. We're not beyond that. And so God has given us here tonight a history lesson from Israel to learn from. But more than that, He has given us Jesus Christ to lean on. And I'm thankful for that truth. I'm thankful that we can lean on Christ. I love what Paul said in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things, he said. I can overcome through Christ. It's through Christ that we can overcome. We're more than overcomers through Him that loved us. You know, I've been working on, I don't know, God has just put on my heart to work on memorizing Romans 8:31 through 39, and I'm just getting started, but those verses are just so powerful. And I love verse 31. You know, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, what a great truth that is. What shall we then say to these things? I mean, these temptations, these trials, when things come in our life. Remember this truth, that God's for us. He is for us. We He wants us to run to Him and lean on Him. He's for us. He's there to help us through it. He's there to strengthen us. He's there to deliver us. But we have to run to Him. I want you to think about that second stanza in the song again. I put it in my notes because I would definitely forget how it goes. But it says, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere?" You know, when I read through that this morning, "Is there trouble anywhere?" I was like, "Yeah, Lord, there's trouble everywhere. There's trouble all over the world. There's trouble in my heart sometimes. There's trouble everywhere. There's trouble, Lord. There's trials. There's temptations everywhere." But I love this next part. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Isn't that good? When we look at all that's going on, we should not be discouraged. Why? Because we have a mighty God. Heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. He's reigning. He's in charge. "Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share?" And I like this part. "Jesus knows our every weakness." Take it to the Lord in prayer. He knows my weakness. My weakness may not be your weakness, but He knows your weakness. Amen. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's learn from this history lesson from Israel. This is an admonition. As I said, an admonition is a mild warning or rebuke. It's a warning to us. God's good to warn us, just like a parent would warn a child. They do it out of love. God loves us. Don't forget that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight that as our Father, You love us so much. And there are times You have to admonish us. There are times You have to warn us. There are times that You have to chasten us, sometimes just to get our attention. Sometimes we can be so lax in our Christian life, we can be forgetful of all that You've done for us, all the blessings that we have in Christ, all the privileges that we have in Christ. We're forgetful sometimes. We sometimes ignore those blessings. We ignore the wonderful privilege we have of taking it to the Lord in prayer. There are times You have to awaken us. You have to warn us. You have to help us to correct course. Lord, we thank You for the lessons of history that we can learn. As we look at Israel's history, we can apply it to our life tonight. Lord, to realize these spiritual blessings You've given us gives us a greater responsibility to walk in a way that pleases You. God, that You might help us tonight as Your people. Because, Lord, there are things that are happening everywhere, not just across the world in Israel, but things that are happening right here in people's lives, people in this congregation, people in our community, things happening that are hard. Lord, we need You. God, help us to walk close to You. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.